A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord said to me, "You are my servant Israel, through whom I should show my glory. Now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant from the womb, that Jacob may be brought back to him and Israel gathered to him. And I am made glorious in the sight of the Lord, and my God is now my strength. It is too little, the Lord says, for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to you who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy with all those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. accepted him, he gave the power to become children of God.
Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me.' I did not know him. But the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. You know, as a cantor myself for many years, Sunday after Sunday, Mass after Mass, as well as in my daily prayer life, I've come to a great appreciation and love for the Psalms, words of poetry and music that lift our souls to God, words that convey every human emotion and express our need and love for our Creator. The Psalms are an incredible written journey into the human condition and a window into who God is and what he wants from us. They are the words of the psalmist, words that were prayed and spoken by Christ himself, and they are words to be prayed and sung today. And as Fred Scott so beautifully sang the words of Psalm 40 today, I ask you, what did you hear? What did you think to yourself as he sang? Well, let's take a look at Psalm 40. What we heard today was only the first part of this beautiful psalm. Actually, Fred sang only 6 of the 18 verses of the psalm. The 12 verses that we didn't hear paint the story of a hurting man needing and reaching out to God for help. It's King David. Now there as he lay, unable to sleep in a damp cave in the wilderness, David wrestled with his thoughts. It seemed so long ago when, as a young man, the prophet Samuel anointed him to be the next king of Israel. How can he be a king now? A fugitive running from place to place, trying to escape the sword of King Saul. His throne now is a wet rock in a cold cave, and his kingdom is a band of hungry men. There was a time in his life when he was favored and played music in the court of the king. He fought the king's battle as a fearless warrior and was loved by the people. Now, after years of running for his life, David prays to God to rescue him from his enemies. "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me." This is just one of many scenes in David's life where he could have cried out these words to God. His life was a continuous struggle, a life of persecution and distress before and after he assumed the kingship of Israel. He was a grave sinner as he murdered for lust of another man's wife. He was an outlaw pursued by a jealous king. He was a man inept at maintaining family relationships, which caused him great heartache over his life. His very own son instigated open rebellion against him, which resulted in David having to flee his throne and his kingdom. He knew wealth and poverty. He knew success and failure. He knew joy and agony. David knew these feelings all too well as he climbed to the highest heights of political influence, to the lowest of lows, being hunted like a criminal by his enemies. Troubles surround me, too many to count. They pile up so high I can't see my way out. They are more numerous than the hairs on my head. I have lost all my courage. Please, Lord, rescue me. Come quickly. Come quickly, Lord, and help me. It's not surprising that he turned to the Lord for help, and it's perfectly understandable that he wanted that help as quickly as he could possibly get it. People usually want solutions to be delivered at once. But now, we note that David began the psalm, I waited for the Lord. So his natural desire for quick solutions had been tempered by a mature experience of the way that God works. Now follow me. David's natural desire for a quick answer was tempered by a willingness to wait patiently. He knew from previous experiences that it was only a matter of time before the Lord would answer. God is not the God of the quick fix. Neither is the Lord of our Lord a fixer and an instant solver of problems. He takes his time. He takes his time growing an oak from an acorn, and allows the long winter to prepare the earth for the warmth of spring. But it is precisely the promise of spring that makes the winter more palatable. And it is the certainty that an oak lies hidden within the acorn that makes it bearable to wait for the tree to grow. Why, we wonder, does God take his time? No doubt His reasons are many and profound, but perhaps it's because we can only appreciate how solid he is as our rock when we have thoroughly experienced the mud and the mire of life. And so in our psalm today, David prays earnestly for deliverance. We can almost hear the passion with which he prays, O Lord, do not withhold your compassion from me. Your merciful love and your truth are always there to guard me. For I am beset with evils too many to count. My sins, they have fallen upon me. They are more than the hairs on my head, and my heart sinks. O Lord, come to my rescue. Come to my aid. As he prays for deliverance, he remembers fondly how God was faithful to his people. And through his own faith, David sees God delivering him out of his dreadful trial. So he begins the psalm with praise, which is what we heard this morning. And what we get from those opening lines is that God, he's the one who hears the prayer. He's the one who delivers us from our trials. He's the one who establishes our walk, our life's journey. And he's the one who puts a new song in our mouth. But as the song progresses, David recognizes his need for God, especially during times of trouble. Like David's life, our lives are also on a roller coaster of joy, sadness, success, and failure. We all have felt despair, grief, and disappointment. Like David, during these times, we need to cry out to God and wait patiently for the Lord to deliver us. I waited for the Lord, says David. Did you hear that? Wait patiently for the Lord to deliver you. I hate waiting. I might as well admit it. Through the years I've worked on cultivating patience with little success. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a virtue that I admire, it's just I admire it from a distance. Yet, despite my lifelong habit of hurry, there is one area in which I can honestly say that I have progressed. After all these years, I'm finally learning to wait for God. I've learned, after suffering through more episodes than I wish to recall, to leave the timing in His hands. Let me tell you, His timing is impeccable. I've seen it over and over again, even through times of serious doubt. Wait on the Lord. Whenever you realize that there's nothing you can do but wait, accept the moment and wait patiently. And David, obviously, he learned this lesson well. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me, and He heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. When we are in the midst of life's storms of suffering, whether brought on by ourselves or by others, we might suffer for a while. But God, who is our rock, will set our feet firmly on the ground. This rock, our Lord Jesus, is our hiding place as He preserves us in trouble, helping us become who the Father wants us to be. My friends, like David, we fail, we fall. But remember the words of Psalm 40. Are not only David's words, but they're also yours and mine. When you find yourself deep in the muddy slime and misery of sin and suffering, then, as the psalmist, cry out to God for mercy. Then He will incline His ear to you. He will teach you what His will is. He will teach you and give you what you need to do to obey His will. Then you will remember and share with others the wonderful things that God has done for you. And maybe, just maybe, you'll write your own song.